Bulls, who are fighting for a playoff spot, are up 1-0 against Toronto. And yeah,
ASMR.
That is where we are at in the
world.
The world of yeah, it's almost over.
I mean, we're getting there. We're approaching the end. So what is the most surprising thing going into this end of the season?
The most surprising thing has to be the two coaches lost their jobs, got fired with 10 games or less left in the season.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. I mean, it's happened less than 10 times in like 40 years, so it's very uncommon.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would say so.
But I mean, Vegas, I mean, I guess the coach lost the only thing I can think of is the coach lost the room. You know, I can't see why you would do that so late in the season. So, like, head coach of Vegas won them a Stanley Cup, and I guess the message, all I can think of is it's a different team, different dynamic. I mean, they made a lot of trades. You know, they bring in Mitch Marner, they bring in Rasmus Anderson. You know, you kind of change the dynamic of the team. You're bringing in new people that may not be buying into what the coach is cooking, so to speak. And I think that could be it. I mean, you bring in John Tortorella, who's an established coach, career coach, who's a very different coach. And we'll see how it transpires. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, this team, it's not a bad team. It's like, I just don't know. I know they were without Pietrangelo this year. He was taking a leave of absence. You know, one of their stalwarts, William Karlsson, basically out the entire year. I think he's only played like 10, 12 games. Like,
yeah.
You know, they got guys who aren't really producing that they've brought in over the years. Like, you know, looking at stats right now, Brendan Saad has had a down year, played only 47 games. I mean, maybe it's just a lack of depth as well. A lot of their depth players have been traded and moved on to accommodate bringing in the likes of a Stone, Rasmus Anderson. You know, maybe that has something to play with it. And, you know, they only have, for a team with this many top-level players, there's only one 30-goal scorer, and that's Pavel Dvorev, who's a young player, who's one of the few players I still have that they drafted a few years ago. Kudos to him on back-to-back 30-goal seasons. But, I mean, yeah, look at Stone, Marner, and Eichel are all under 25 or less goals.
Damn. So what do you think is, like, the major cause? Like, let's go back to what you were saying about, you know, losing the team and losing the room. Who sees that first? Is it players notice it? Is it the, like, owners? Like, how do you come to that decision?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's both. I mean, I think when you lose the room, it's like your message, you know, you have a strategy, you have a way of going about managing the team as the head coach. And if everyone's not buying into it, and there's some reason, I mean, look, they're all professionals. You're not going to get along with everybody. But you all have a job to do.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just, you know, treatment of certain players or what have you kind of cause some friction. And, you know, just like anything else, there's friction at work. You go to HR, you move it up, you bubble it up, and you assess what's going on and what's the best move forward. And they felt like, and in both cases, it looks like whatever's going on, I mean, we don't have the full story. It's just all speculation. But, you know, they decided that at this point, we need a new voice. We need a new leader in the locker room. And, you know, there you have it. John Tortorella comes into Vegas. The Islanders let go Patrick Waugh and brought in Peter DeBoer, who's a very solid, very veteran coach who's been, you know, he was last coached last year with Dallas. So we'll see what happens there. both teams are either in the playoffs or fighting for a spot. Vegas is second in the Pacific.
Right.
And the Islanders are on the outside looking in. They're 3 points out of the last wild card spot. So they're right there. I think the reason they brought someone in is that, you know, they did lose their – they've lost four in a row. They've lost seven in the last 10. So, you know, you're in the final push. You got to – every game counts even more, and you can't give up ground like that. And they were in the playoffs, and now they're on the outside looking in.
Well, let's so. – like, is this the time to do that? Why did – like, what was so important – that they didn't wait for the offseason? Was it just playoff dreams? Is it like the only thing I can think about that you would like?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's it. I mean, getting in the playoffs, you get, you know, a boost to the team. You get yourself, you know, it's just one of those things that you play to win the Stanley Cup and you have to get in the playoffs to win it. So yeah, I think it's, you got to make moves where you think they're the most strategic, you know, and then, to go on that, where we can grow from there, and we got two teams that are eliminated from the playoffs, letting go of their general managers, and the Devils and the Maple Leafs. So moves have been made there, and I think the Devils and the Maple Leafs definitely needed to make some changes. Now, with that said, does that change their head coach?
Yeah.
A lot of times, general managers come in, they want to bring in their own coach. We could possibly be seeing two more coaches being let go after the season. I don't think they're going to fire someone with three games left. You're already not in the playoffs. You just finished, you know, you're basically playing for a draft position at this point.
I know, yeah.
And so, you know, the Devils have been playing better as of late because they're getting more players back.
Sure,
but this is a team that was injured a lot of the season. It wasn't for, you know, anything other than that. I mean, you had a lot of guys out for a long period of time. I mean, Jack Hughes was out for a while.
Yeah.
Luke Hughes was out for a while. You know, some of the players you brought in didn't pan out. I mean, you made a trade. You traded all, you know, what's his name? Palat. You traded halfway through the season, maybe a little beyond halfway through the season. You know, you bring in players. I mean, guy like Evgeny Dodonov didn't work out. You know, so there's just a lot of moving pieces. I do think that bringing Connor Brown was a good move. I think he's done very well for them. But I mean, their top players weren't. You know, Jesper Bratt took a step back this year. I mean, yeah, he's gonna finish around 70 points, but here's a guy who's getting 80 points. He's sure, you know, not having the best year, solid year.
Yeah.
And a guy like Timo Meier, who you paid $9 million to, can't score 30 goals. I mean, these are things that are happening. It's just like, you know, he's a 40 goal scorer, but now he's not scoring 40 goals. He's in the prime of his career. What's going on there? Is it maybe not the right line mates? You know, people get injured, lines are shuffled. You don't have that flow, that chemistry. And, you know, in the end of the day, you know, his numbers suffered. So there's a lot of moving parts in Jersey. I definitely think whoever they bring in as the general manager is going to make a big trade and or free agent signing, and they got to get tougher. I think this is a team that's really good skill wise, but they don't have that sandpaper, that toughness. You know, they don't have that big power forward. Like Washington's got Wilson. You got, you know, Tkachuk in either Tkachuk's like those big present guys. If they're, yeah. You know, I don't feel like this is a team that I've seen, you know, multiple times a year in person. And I feel like, they got the skill. You put their top three against any top. Like, they got skill. They got good defensive depth. But I feel like they just need that little bit of oomph to get them over the top. And I think maybe a guy that I may have mentioned, like maybe a Timo Meier and Nico Hischier, their captain, maybe they move on from him. Dawson Mercier. Like, someone – this team is not going to look the same the start of next season. That's what I'm going to say. Do they go trade for Austin Matthews? I mean, hey – I don't think he's going to be in Toronto next year. I have a feeling he's not going to be there.
Ooh, where do you think he's going?
I just don't think – I think his time there is up. And I don't have – I said before, I think L.A. makes a lot of sense with Anze Kopitar retiring.
Yeah.
you know, I think that's a place he could end up. I don't know. I mean, I just don't see him. I think the writing's on the wall. You know, if we want to read the tea leaves, I think it's time for him to, you know, play elsewhere.
That is the most politically correct, like the nicest way you could put that. I love that.
Yeah.
You are a kind man.
Yeah, look, you know, time to move on. Time to you know, there's 31 other teams. See what's cooking. You know, maybe he ends up in Edmonton. I don't know. Doubt it, but you know, but yeah, I mean, and then we look at Toronto. We just go right into Toronto. I mean, this is a team that they just fell apart. It's the best way to put it. I mean, they just did not play well all year. Their best player, their captain, gets his knee blown out. No one really stepped up in his absence. I mean, you got guys, you know, who takes that next step, and no one really did it. So that's concerning. You know, this team, yeah, they still got Nylander. They got Matthew Nyes, Tavares. That's it. After that, everyone is, you know, so-so. I mean, they traded Bobby McCann, who was one of their better players this year. He goes off to Seattle and gets on a tear out there. So, you know, things happen. You know, it's like, you know, you can't – look, you can't replace – Austin Matthews' skill set, players of his caliber don't grow on trees. And there's no one that's going to 100% replace him. But someone needed to take that next step. If it was a young player coming up, what have you. It didn't seem like anything kind of – they just kind of happened. And that's essentially, you know, part of the reason why they're not playing that well. Mm. But, you know, this is a guy like William Nylander, for instance, is a 40-goal score, 100-point guy, and he may get 75 if he's lucky.
Yeah,
he's missed a bunch of games. He's only played 60 games, but – What? Wow.
I'm sorry.
That's what happens. You can't look stuff up. But he's had back-to-back 40-goal seasons, and he may not get 30 this year.
Fair.
So
it's interesting you bring up, the Toronto, because they are up against the Capitals tonight, who a year ago were the best record of the Eastern Conference. What happened to the Capitals?
That is a fantastic question. I just think that a lot of – I don't want to say it, but, like, a lot of people have said that they were riding the OV train, the OV goal record. And since he hit the goal record, it's kind of like they've receded a little bit. But they had dealt with their fair share of injuries. They had a lot of players injured this year and missed a significant amount of time in that – You know, there are key players like, you know, Portes and Pierre-Luc Dubois did not play a lot this year, and that kind of threw that team into a wrench. I mean, yeah, they brought up, you know, full year of Ryan Leonard. They brought in the Hudson Lane Huntsman's brother as a defenseman. These are young players that are developing. Connor McMichael kind of took a step back this year. So all that said and done, you're on the outside looking in for the playoffs.
Yeah, but like Ovechkin, like how is he not? I mean, I guess like how does he must feel right now being on the Capitals? And like, I mean, they could theoretically still have an outside chance, right? They have to win at all six games, but they could theoretically get that second wild card slot, correct?
They're currently, they gotta win. It's tough. They're not mathematically out.
Yeah,
and if they win today, they're 5 points out with currently they have 78 games. So including tonight, they have 70. There's four games left. They got to win out, and then Ottawa and or Boston. Basically, Ottawa needs to lose their last four games, and then they have a shot. So theoretically, they have a shot, but it's very challenging. And at least tonight, they're up 3-0. So barring any collapse.
Yeah,
so they're gonna,
one down, they're, five to go, theoretically.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, Boston is pretty much – I don't think Boston's at 92 points. They have 3 games left. So, and they've lost 4 in a row. So I don't even know how they're still holding on to a spot. Yeah. Where Ottawa is, they've won 6 out of the last 10. They're playing very, very good. They're kind of dialed in. They got Jake Sanderson back, who Olympic defenseman, really solid player for them, who they missed for a while. Mm-hmm. So they're looking to be healed up, ready to go for the playoffs. And you know, again, this is the East year because you're not facing a Florida. Think of it this way: I think no Florida. Essentially, half of the teams that were in the playoffs last year in the Eastern Conference are not going to be in the playoffs this year.
It's insane that like they might not have any, and what Western might have 3. 3 teams in the Western Conference might make it. Is that true?
So as of right now, so the Central's locked up. So the Central may have 5 teams. The Central has 5 of the 8 playoff spots.
Jesus, yeah.
With, you know, Colorado, Dallas, Minnesota, they've been great all year. These teams have been dialed in. Mm-hmm. They made the right moves during the season, in the offseason. Dallas has just plug and play, next man up. This team, you know, throughout the entire year, Roope Hintz has been out for most of the whole season. Tyler Seguin, one of their best players, out again. Poor guy can't stay healthy. Matt Duchene gets injured. He misses a chunk of games. They just, next guy up. I mean, you got Jason Robertson, Wyatt Johnson leading that offense. I mean, they traded Mason Marchman, who was a really good player for them in the offseason. They traded him. Mikael Granlund goes to Anaheim. He's having a good year there. Like, they've lost so many players, and yet they're still just a very dominant team. They're very well locked in. You know, Mikko Hiskinen had a great year this year. But with that said, going back to the question at hand is, wild card for the West. I mean, right now it's Utah and Nashville. Nashville was like dead last at one point, and this team was just like, yeah, we're going to get in. We're going to get in. Fantastic run. I hope it stays the same. The truth be told, I think as much as it would be great to see San Jose get in or L.A., which I'm happy with. I mean, even on the outside, you got – Winnipeg clawing back. They've had a really good run, and they're on the outside looking in. But look, LA and San Jose are pretty close. San Jose plays a big game tonight against Edmonton. If they beat Edmonton, that puts them at 83 points, 1 point out of that last wild card spot.
I mean, let's talk about it this way though. Edmonton, you know, that's not saying much anymore, which sucks to say. A team that's been to the Stanley Cup so many times recently. Fell apart, like, my God, beating Edmonton used to mean something. How much could it possibly mean today? I mean, for them, yes, it's very important.
But yeah, they're a very beatable team. they're a team. This is Edmonton in a nutshell right now. I mean, yeah, they don't have. I don't think Drysdale's back. I don't believe he is. But this is basically a team where they're gonna try to run and gun. You know, try to score 5 goals and only give up 4. If it's a tight game, whatever team they're playing the tight game with, I give it to the other team. I feel like they have a whole ton of issues with they've traded one goalie, they're bringing another, and he's not working out. Their depth isn't as strong as it used to be. I mean, yeah, they're getting good play from certain players, which is great.
Sure.
But they're not the same team. I don't feel like they lost a lot of that luster they had over the last 2 years, and you know we'll see what happens. But I mean, look, they've lost 2 in a row. You know, San Jose, Matt Celebrini, 100 point season, his second year, he's a teenager, scores 100 points. This guy is dialed in. He's got hockey in you know Northern California buzzing, and this is a team that is on the upswing. So we'll see. I hope they win tonight. I might watch a little bit of it just because I like the way that team's built. They're a fun team to watch and they don't give up. They don't and for them to be in this position is great. Mike Greer, the GM, tons of draft picks, loaded up. He's working the right veterans. Like he traded for Tyler Toffoli, bring him in, help with his young core. made strategic pickups along the way, just kind of helped build this team around celebrating Will Smith. You got Michael Misa, you know, you got a bunch of young guys coming up. So it's a fun team to watch.
Yeah. Okay. So of all the games, there's what, I think 11 that might have playoff implications left. What are your, I have to watch these. These are very important to the
picture. We could go through the last week and a half of hockey. Starting with tonight.
I had very vague questions. I knew we were going to talk playoffs, so like I tried to.
It's like, hey, is it sunny out at 8 p.m. at night? I don't know.
Listen,
man.
I'm trying to, you know.
Hey, you're trying. Hey, so tonight would definitely be for me, the Edmonton San Jose game, just because they're both. San Jose is closer to being in the playoffs than Washington. In my, they're right there. One win puts them a point out.
Okay, yeah, fair.
Looking at the schedule, you know, tomorrow, huge game, Anaheim, San Jose. Anaheim has lost six in a row. They're still in the playoffs. There's still like a 90% chance to make it. They need to start winning. They cannot go into the playoffs like nine games, losing nine in a row.
Yeah.
Can't do it. So to me, that's a big game. Really, like, the Philly-Detroit game is a big game, wild card implications. The Florida-Ottawa, again, wild card. Those are some big games tomorrow. The Tampa-Montreal is probably the best matchup, future possible, you know, playoff matchup. But they're both in, so it's like there's, you know, they're not, they're just playing for position.
Yeah.
And then another huge game, which is probably, which sucks, is probably the first round of the playoffs, Minnesota-Dallas. This is the problem with the way the playoffs are set up. So many good first-round matchups. Both of those teams deserve to be in the Western Conference Finals. They're both lights-out teams, and they're going to play each other the first round. So one of them is done. Like, kind of sucks. But no Hockey Friday, so that's a day of rest. we'll celebrate that. Looking at Saturday, Ottawa, New York, Islanders is a big matchup. Washington, Pittsburgh, potentially the last time Ovi plays Sid, because he may retire. And I say that as the last time in Pittsburgh because they have a home and home. So Pittsburgh on Sunday plays in Washington. So I say that as the last time potentially in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, fair.
I want to put that in asterisks. I wasn't saying it was the last time. It's like, you know, I want to make sure we have that said. That's really it. I mean, the Minnesota-Nashville game, because Nashville's up like on the bubble. Edmonton-Los Angeles is a big game on Saturday. Sunday, the Ottawa-New Jersey game, because again, wild card. Montreal-New York, because of wild card.
Can we pause on Ottawa? I had this written down, and I just want to make sure we get to this point. Ottawa, if the playoffs were today, Ottawa will be playing our favorite team, the Hurricanes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Hurricanes have a very interesting strategy, and it's incredible. They're one of the best teams, and you know, like, but their team is like, okay, we're gonna let goals in, you know, but we're just gonna outscore you, and it's proven a very effective strategy, right? We're just like, yeah, you can go ahead. We're not gonna worry much about defense, score, but we're gonna put up more points. You can say it when they clinched against Boston, it was 5-6, but even that, it didn't feel like a close game. That being said, is that strategy gonna hold in the playoffs? Can it, you know, with this current run that they're having? You know what I mean?
Yeah, Carolina, their cause for concern with that team has always been the goaltending. They get good, they get solid goaltending. They don't get break. You know, they're just good but not amazing.
Mm-hmm.
They are a very well coached team, a very disciplined team, and that's their one thing is sometimes they win a lot of 6-5 games, but this team has so much offensive power, and everyone scores on this team. This team has so many players with double-digit goals, it's unreal. Not only that, no one on this team who has played over 30 games has a negative plus-minus. Everyone's positive.
Yeah.
So this team, you know, This is what they do. And then they have the consistency up top. Sebastian Aho leading the way, gonna have another 80-point season. Svechnikov is second 30-goal season. Jarvis, I think, is third 30-goal season. Jackson Blake, who's in his second full year, 20-plus goals. Nikolai Ehlers comes in, 65 points, 24 goals. Fits right in. You got Taylor Hall, the veteran, consistent. Got another, almost 50-point season. Mm-hmm. Jordan Staal is almost at 20 goals. First full season of Alexander Nikishkin, 31 points, 11 goals from a defenseman. This team just finds – great players. They draft well. They bring in good veterans, and they all buy into Brendan Moore's season. Brendan Moore, I think, is his eighth year in a row in the playoffs.
Damn.
As a coach. So he has found the secret sauce. He knows what it takes to make these teams successful and for them to deliver. And what I like about this team is it's spread out. It's not – you can't pinpoint one guy because so many players are able to produce offensively, so it makes it very challenging. You can't necessarily shadow a player or key in on one player. It's not, that sort of system. They just have too many well-developed players, which is great. Even guys like Logan Stankoven, they brought in last year in the trade with Mikko Rantanen. Keandre Miller, free agent defenseman, he's got 36 points, 7 goals. So this team is just very well structured. And I'm not saying anything other than they're in a great place.
fair enough. I just wanted to make sure we got that in.
Yes.
All right. Sorry. Go back to what you were talking about. You were talking about you were down the list. You went to the Devils, I believe, before I cut you off.
The play. Yeah, I was saying because these are games with for me the last the implication is
because of the implication.
Because of the implication. So Sunday, not a lot of games going on, but I like the Ottawa-New Jersey game because of the wild card. Probably the biggest game, maybe the Pittsburgh-Washington game. You got other games on, Vancouver-Anaheim. Anaheim needs a win. So that's where we're at for that. And then, we wrap up the season on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So again, anything that's a playoff game, a potential playoff game, those are the ones that I'm looking at. So San Jose, Nashville, Detroit, Tampa, Colorado, Edmonton is a big one. That's a Western Conference Finals potential matchup. And then LA, Seattle, and Winnipeg, Vegas. These are all teams that are on the bubble. And then the last day of the season is Tuesday the 14th. The Carolina, New York Islanders game is big. The Anaheim, Minnesota. Winnipeg, Utah, both are potential playoff teams, and the LA, Vancouver. Those are it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't have to talk about Vancouver, but I know the game matters.
Hey, they're leading the Gavin McKenna sweepstakes, so there's a possibility for them to be. I mean, if he wants to, I mean, I think he's coming back. I think he's going back to Penn State. I don't think he is going to be available. Yeah, I think he's just gonna, be like, "Hey, I'm doing this thing. Y'all have fun." So we shall see.
Fair enough.
All yeah.
Right. That's more or less what I had written down. There's not much else going on right now. Wild card contenders, clinches. We'll do this. I'll ask it this way: what do you think come the end of Tuesday? Your guaranteed ins besides the ones who have clinched, and your biggest surprises in the playoffs. Go.
So who do I think makes it?
Yeah. Who do you think the biggest surprise making it is?
Biggest surprise making is Anaheim. Because they had their they've been building for the last couple of years. The kids have gotten better. They have so many good young players. They were Pat Verbeek, the GMs, brought in proven veterans who've helped elevate it to these younger players. I mean, Leo Carlson, Cutter Gauthier, Benik Senecki, rookie, first round draft pick, Nathan Gassers come in. And then you surround them by guys like Alex Killorn, Chris Kreider, Mikael Granlund on the defense you bring in. Trouba, you trade for him. who's a captain. You got Rocco Gudas as your captain. You got John Carlson, Stanley Cup winner with Washington. He just did a very good job of building this team. And, you know, that them being in the place, they were leading the Pacific. They're a point out from being number one in the Pacific. So they win tomorrow. They're back to being number one if Edmonton loses tonight. That is my biggest surprise. With that said, as it stands, Nashville being basically like dead last and getting into the playoff, amazing. And then with that said, again, finally, the hockey gods have granted the Buffalo Sabres admittance back into the Stanley Cup playoffs. I've talked about this team ad nauseum. Very well built. Kevin Adams, did a fantastic job of putting this together. Unfortunately, you know, he doesn't get to see the labor of his, you know, the fruits of his labor. Jarmo Kekäläinen comes in as a GM and really gets this team fired up, establishes this team as the way they should be playing, and, you know, kudos to them. And then after that, I mean, it's all the usual suspects. I mean, I guess another big surprise is Florida not making the playoffs after
I mean, we talked about that a lot, but yes, that is absolutely a huge surprise.
And it's not even that they're a bad team. I think you can't lose so many players and expect to play at that level. I mean, at any one time, they had three or four guys that were out for a long period of time. I mean, it's just not sustainable. But, you know, the scary thing is they'll all be healthy next year. So best of luck. But, you know, this is the year for someone from the East to win it, other than Florida.
Fair. Right now, gun to your head, who are you picking?
Damn. Fudge. From the East, I kind of want to say Tampa. But really? Okay. It's Tampa or Carolina. I like both these teams so much. And I'm trying to think, go back and forth. And the reason I say Tampa, goaltending.
Okay. Please allow me.
They got that. They got Andre Vasilevskiy. That's it. Like, they are a much better offensive team. You got prime Nikita Kucherov, another 120 plus point season. If you take away all his goals, he's still a point per game player this year.
Yeah.
You know, they just Mr. Consistency, one of my favorite players, Jake Edsel, point per game. Hagel, another 30 goal season. You got another 20 goal season out of Cirelli. The big drop off this year, because he's playing hurt, and everyone knows it, Braden Point, just not a normal season for him because he's been hurt. But, you know, with that said, this team has guys who've taken steps, like Cage Gonzalez, 11 goals, 30-year. Guys like J.J. Moser stepping up. And then the biggest surprise for me, when Hedman goes down, he's been hurt a significant amount of the season.
Yeah.
You know, Darren Radish, who was their almost their odd man out, third D pairing, comes up, steps up, 21 goals, 69 points, plus, you know, he's got 10 power play goals to lead the team in power play goals, second in total power play points. I mean, this is a guy who literally may not have made the team to lead them from the defensive standpoint. So kudos to him. I mean, this team's gone through a lot of adversity this year. I mean, Eric Cernak was hurt for a while, Maxwell Crozier, Ryan McDonough, like everyone in that decor at some point was out of the lineup, and they brought in familiar face like Corey Perry to help round out that offensive core. You know, a lot of D guys have stepped up for them, and that's kind of what you'd hope these players. I mean, they're not a rich draft pool, a lot of prospect pool rather. So they don't have a lot to pull from, and the guys that they did have who stepped up really helped keep them afloat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's, for me, I mean, that's the mark of a well-rounded franchise. You have a lot of guys next man up who are able to step in and help contribute to allow this team to be first in the division and head into the playoffs without having to worry about running into Tampa, running into Florida. So, you know, there you have it.
Fair enough, fair enough. All right. Again, that was kind of it. I thought, you know, kind of like the last note was just playoff talk. So anything else you want to – I'm sorry. You know, I usually do my show notes, but this was – it was pretty easy this time, to be fair.
Yeah, no, I think we kind of covered everything. You know, we'll see how it all plans out the next four or five games. I mean, again, we have less than a week left. Tuesday is it. Season's over. Playoffs start a day or two later. And, you know, I think this is going to be a fun one. I think we're in for a lot of good playoff hockey. And let's go Buffalo.
Oh, Buffalo, you're changing sides now.
No, it just rhymes. I like, look, there's more, there's team, like, this is one of the years where I'm pretty much okay with anyone in the East going. I'm like, okay, that looks good. But I am a fan, and I say this because I'm a fan of seeing new teams every year in the finals.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I like seeing new teams win, and I like to see teams that haven't won before win. So, like, to me, that's what, you know, yes, and maybe that's a crazy rivalry where we have now a nice little rivalry, Florida-Edmonton, back-to-back.
Yeah.
You know, there's something cool there. But at the same time, we know we're going to have a new...
Yeah, there's going to be a new face, and that's great. Final
person team from the East. And now, yeah, Tampa, you know, they've won... They've gone 3 years in a row. They've won two in a row. They haven't been there for a few years. So, hey, welcome back. I mean, you know, if Buffalo could do that, awesome. I mean, Carolina, that would be awesome. I mean, we're not even talking about Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has been one of the most consistent teams this year. And they're a team where half the team is under – this is their last year,
yeah.
which is crazy because if you look at their you know, their salary, they most of their players, their contracts are up this year. They're basically all playing for a new contract. I don't think they have anyone really signed up long-term.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I am correct. They have no one – pretty much everyone on this roster – is their contract ends next year or the year after. They have no one signed past the 2028-29 season. So
yeah.
27-20, they have one player that's signed to 28-29. Everyone else's contract is up. So this is a team that everyone's fighting for that next contract, which is amazing. You know?
Fair enough.
And they're all playing. This team is playing lights out. Kyle Dubas, architect from Toronto, comes in here second year. You know, some head scratching moves, a lot of you know, what are we doing? And you know what? He built a very solid team, had very strong drafts. He's brought in a lot of players that have worked well together. So kudos to him.
Yeah.
And you know, guys that are gonna get a nice contract. I think Anthony Mantha is gonna get paid very well. 30 goal season. He brought in Igor Chikhnikov from Columbus, who wanted out of there, wasn't getting the time he needed, and comes over here and steps into a role and does very well. I mean, you have to compliment, obviously, Sidney Crosby, Malkin, Rust, Raquel, or those big offensive guys, and these guys that I mentioned have come in and helped out this team, and they're on the way to closing in on a 100-point season. They got 92 points. And then, you know, Eric Carlson, arguably one of the best offensive defensemen. The last one to score 100 points before that, it was Brian Leetch in like 93. So we went like 30 years of that as person scoring 100 points, a defenseman. This back half of this season, since the Olympics coming back, he has been phenomenal. Arguably one of the best defensemen in the league, you know. So this team is in a good position. So I'd be happy to see them go all the way. I mean, they traded their goalie, brought in Stuart Skinner, and you know, he's a guy that was kind of thought of as a, you know, a work in progress in Edmonton. I don't know what the best
work in progress is a good word.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, he's got you know, maybe the confidence of going to a new team helps out. Sometimes it's not the player, it's the scenery. Maybe it's a new change. I don't know. I mean, and they got goaltending, they got a young goaltender, Artur Silvos from Vancouver, over in the offseason. He was the the goaltender for the Memorial Cup for their minor league team. So he's a very solid goaltender who stepped in a little bit this year. And yeah, man, this team, you know, they've done the thing, which is nice. I like to see them back in the playoffs. I mean, a playoff with Sidney Crosby is a good playoff. But we'll see how the cookie crumbles.
Yeah. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. All right. That's all I got. Well, that about wraps it up for this episode. Any final thoughts there, Ant?
Yeah, I mean, I just can't wait to see a pro team get relegated. That's what I
want. Can we add that to hockey? You know, it would be very funny.
I mean, we could. I don't know if they'll allow it, but I mean, you could. Like, you're not guaranteed to win.
Fair.
I mean, imagine Vancouver and the AHL. Like, that'd be something. I don't know, because they have 52 points and the next lowest team has 70. So. Yeah. I mean, even Calgary's got 73 points.
Yeah.
And they've traded everyone this year.
fair enough.
They even traded the head laundry guy.
Well, listen, they got to replace him up the board, man. They got to make sure it's a clean break.
That always reminds me, if you ever seen Semi-Pro, when he trades for Maddox, the Woody Harrelson character, he goes, "And we traded our laundry machine, and we needed that." It's always like my favorite joke. It's like, we traded our freaking washer and dryer. It's like, we needed those things.
That's amazing.
Man, imagine that, like, future considerations, like a laundry detergent.
Oh, man, listen, you know, if you throw in the Tide Pods, we got a deal.
Hey, what was it? Remember Moneyball, where he's like, you gotta fill my soda machine?
Oh, like, my God.
You don't got soda money? Dude, imagine walking into like a professional like place and like, yeah, I get it. All teams aren't funded the same way, but like, y'all don't got free Pepsi? You can't get a sponsorship for Pepsi?
Oh my God.
It's like, no, we got what is it? What is a generic cola? Bob's Discount Cola.
Listen, you know, I Bob's Discount Cola's gotta be better than RC at least.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Thank you all so much for joining us this evening. Join us back here next week for more Drive Dance Hockey.
Where we talk about cheesesteaks.
Oh, really? That's next week? Sweet.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the double cheese, double onion cheesesteak from some, I don't know.